Good morning and welcome to Many Paths, Many Visions, brought to you by the Labyrinth Society and with your host, Christiana Brinton. In conjunction with the theme for the Labyrinth Society annual gathering this year, Diverse Journeys on a Common Path, Building Community Through the Labyrinth, our series for the remainder of 2016 will have a similar theme, using labyrinths to address social issues. This is our fourth episode, and listeners can live chat with my guest and me during the 15-minute Q&A session at the end of the interview. And for those listening live to this podcast, please do take the time to log in and chat with us. It certainly livens up the show and provides welcome and helpful feedback. This episode is entitled, In the Heart of a City, Labyrinths as Respite, and my guest today is Janice Lewis, membership chair person for the Labyrinth Society, and a volunteer with Chicago Lights, a community outreach organization located at Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago, Illinois. Janice is a tireless volunteer for this organization, creating meditational guides, labyrinth walks, and retreats for the at-risk population that Chicago Lights serves across the Chicagoland area. Welcome to Many Paths, Many Visions, Janice. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, Janice, I wanted to first acknowledge the fact that you alerted me to some really juicy information that has just come up, that you have been, you are one of the nominees for the Metropolitan Club, I'm assuming, of Chicago, Women of the Year Award. And this is primarily because and due to your work, your volunteerism with Chicago Lights. Is that correct?
That is right. And also my activity at the club.
Okay. And this is the Metropolitan Club is specific to Chicago?
It is. It's part of Club Corps, which is an international association.
Well, congratulations for that. From what I hear and what you sent me, it is a very involved process. But and somebody asked you, you said somebody asked you why you're doing all this, because it takes a lot of work on the nominee's part. And you said it was because you wanted everybody to know about what Chicago Lights is doing and what the programs, the benefits of the programs that they are offering.
That is right. That is my focus. The more people that find out about Chicago Lights and how I am active there and creating different ideas, the better the world's going to be. So I'm thrilled to be able to shine the light on Chicago Lights at any time.
Well, this is why we're talking today, your work with that. And so, but let's get a little background on you. You are now your professional life coach. And I'm a meditator, which I'm assuming means that you actually teach, not only teach meditation classes, but you teach teacher training classes. And you're a Veriditas Advanced Certified Labyrinth Facilitator. You use your company, Janice Time, janicetime.com, to offer labyrinth meditations and retreats and life coaching around the country. So briefly, how did you come to this point in your life?
Yes, that's a great question. Thank you, Christiana. Yes, I do lead contemplative retreats, and I offer opportunities to others so that they can find peace within themselves. I believe that after finding peace within, then we can authentically offer peace to others. Christiana, more importantly, I really don't offer anything to others that has not made a big difference in my life. Then I become trained and certified, and then I offer it to others. So, for instance, with life coaching, I contacted a life coach, and I found value in that. So I became certified and offer it to others now. That is true with the labyrinth also. The first time I walked a labyrinth, I found myself more peaceful at the end of my walk than when I walked in. And at that time, because I was a spiritual director and pastoral care specialist, I was asked to lead women's spirituality groups. The groups heard me talk about labyrinths, and they wanted to experience them also. So I decided to become certified and then advanced certified by Dr. Lauren Artress, the founder of Veriditas. And after my training, I offered labyrinth walks to the women's spirituality groups. We visited labyrinths in the city, in many parks, and on the island, in Toronto. And the women in the spirituality groups love them. And that is the case about meditation, because I found that it gave me peace. I decided to go into training. Father Lawrence Friedman, who's the director of World Community Christian Meditation. And then I was trained by Shambhala Meditation Community. And now I'm in a mindfulness-based stress reduction group and training. And I offer meditation to others.
And so your meditation training is pretty it encompasses a lot of different types of meditational techniques. Shambhala is very different from mindfulness, but they all at the core are the same. But they're, do you find that this is very helpful? Because people have come from, you know, transcendental meditation, mindfulness. There's lots of different forms and styles.
Yes, it is helpful for me to know that there are many different methodologies out there, and that I can touch into all of those. And really, the core of all meditation practices is peace within. And that's exactly what I'm passionate about.
So you volunteer with the Chicago Lights. Chicago Lights has a lot of programs. And you volunteer with their social center, their urban farm, and their summer program. And you and your team, you have a team that facilitates the Peace Club, which is an 8-week enrichment program for students. So can you briefly describe what each of these programs provide for Chicago area residents and their families?
Yes, I will be glad to. Chicago Lights is dedicated to offering support through education and empowerment for children, teens, and adults who face the challenges of poverty each and every day in Chicago. Chicago Lights Social Service Center offers group programs and one-on-one time with a social service professional to their guests who are often underhoused and underemployed. And the Urban Farm offers educational and economic opportunities and hands-on learning experiences to grow and sell fresh produce right here in the city. And Summer Day Program offers children and teens a 6-week academic and enrichment program for 100 first through ninth graders. And as a trained and experienced meditator, I was asked to offer meditation and other contemplative practices to the Chicago Lights guests, whether they are children, teens, or adults. You see, Christiana, if you are challenged by poverty, you often live in stress, and meditation helps relieve some of their stress. Today, you're right, I have the privilege of leading a fabulous team of adult meditators who offer meditation and other contemplative practices like mandalas, which is contemplative art, labyrinths, which is contemplative walking, community circles, which is contemplatively listening while using a talking stick. And even a mindful experience with chocolate. The meditators love the chocolate experience.
That's funny. That's great. Well, you create these programs with your team or at what, some of them like the Peace Club and at the other ones you come up with these programs. Do you have some kind of plan or schedule? How do you come up with the programs that you offer in each area of Chicago Lights?
That's another great question. I tend to be creative and I love offering what they ask for. So I'll talk a little bit about Peace Club. How does that sound? Because I think that gives you a pretty good idea of how this all works together. So the first meditation group, we had a group of young children between grades 1 through 5. And that group, after they experienced Peace Club meditation, they named it the Peace Club. I didn't name it the Peace Club, and neither did any of the other leaders. They did. And Peace Club's tagline is, Peace Club is where you meditate and have fun in quiet and peaceful ways. And you're right, Christiana. During the school year, Peace Club students learn to slow down, think and listen rather than react, and perhaps make poor choices. It's an enrichment class that's offered Monday through Thursday to Chicago Lights children's and teens. And this past year, there were more than 150 Peace Club meditation and contemplative practice sessions for those who are challenged by poverty. And Christiana, I really do this is because I want to use mindfulness and meditation in creative ways to help stop some of the violence in Chicago, one breath at a time.
And how do these children, how are these children selected to be in these programs? I mean, it's 100 children. There's thousands and thousands of them out there. So how does that work?
Yeah, well, they have a certain income level for their family, for sure. And what happens is that once Chicago Light's reputation gets out there, the schools find out about it, parents ask questions, the school gives them information about Chicago Light's. And really, in families, there are many times where I'm in a Peace Club session. And it is a cousin and a sister, a cousin, a couple cousins together, and a couple sisters together. So it happens through families and through schools and through community centers, and the word is just out, and I'm happy to partner with him.
And do they have to go through any vetting process, or do they have to, obviously they have to show their income level, but do you have a waiting list? I mean, are you envisioning, it sounds like it's a very popular program. And so are more planned for the future? I mean, is this something that you want to be able to reach more students with?
Oh, I would take any student that came along because I'm very dedicated to meditation. And I leave the details, such as how the students come to Chicago Lights, up to the leaders. And they are experts at finding these families who are looking for enrichment classes for their children. Now, meditation isn't the only thing that Chicago Lights offers. During the evenings that the children come to Chicago Lights, there's tutoring that goes on for 90 minutes for each child after they have a healthy dinner. I'm one of those tutors. I tutor an adorable third grader for 90 minutes. And it's not because I know all those subjects. It's really because it's about building relationships. Yeah.
So you've written a Peace Club booklet, a meditation handbook for teens and adults, and a teacher's guide for meditation, and all mention walking a labyrinth, as well as each booklet provides a full-size finger labyrinth design within their pages that they can use to walk with their finger. What's been the reception among the Chicago Lights staff and administration to your use of labyrinths as a meditational tool in your programs?
Oh, I've had great acceptance, and that's one of the reasons why I'm so dedicated to Chicago Lights. The leaders there have just opened up the doors for me to offer all kinds of meditation groups and contemplative practices. And yes, Christiana, along with the other team members, I did design and write material for the booklets and the teacher's guide. And you might also be interested to know that Peace Club meditators are gifted a pair of meditation socks that say "Just Breathe" on them, a small meditation bell, and a meditation booklet to take home at the end of our time together. And yes, labyrinths are included in that booklet. So I can't do anything without including labyrinths. And my Peace Club students also walk a labyrinth, use handheld labyrinths, draw their own labyrinths, and design their own labyrinths in sand. The reception by the staff, as I mentioned, in administration has been complete acceptance of using labyrinths as a meditation tool. The Chicago Lights staff members now offer a handheld labyrinth to a student who acts up. Instead of a timeout, they encourage time in with the labyrinth. And because Peace Club students enjoyed using my handheld labyrinths last, when was it? Today's fall, so last spring, they used my handheld labyrinths. I asked Chicago Lights staff members to order handheld labyrinths so that each Peace Club class can use them with their meditators. The handheld labyrinths were ordered and are now in our supply box, and I'm looking forward to using them. The students will love the new handheld labyrinths.
And are these, are they, what materials are they, and what is the design? Are they all different labyrinth designs, or?
They are. I made sure that there were classical labyrinths and the other labyrinth styles, too. Neil Harris is my go-to person for handheld labyrinths. He lives right outside of Chicago, and he gave Chicago Lights a great deal. And I'm really happy to be able to link up Chicago Lights to a person who's dedicated to making a difference in the world through labyrinths.
His company is Relax for Life, and he has a patented one, the double one, that you can use with someone else or with both hands at the same time. I have experienced that myself, and they're wonderful tools for helping to calm oneself and go inward and balance the left and right hemispheres of the brain.
That's right.
So talk a little bit about, can you give some examples? You did mention the Peace Club, but and some of the things that the meditations that you do. Talk a little bit about some of the other labyrinth events you've created and led.
Oh, I'd be glad to. During July, there were 60 meditation and contemplative practice sessions. Do you believe that? And the leadership team's amazing, and I so appreciate them, and I know Chicago Lights does too. And to talk about some of the ideas that I have had and created and led is, one of them is because I'm an advanced peacemaker circle leader, that I lead community circles for a group of adults who are in a program at the Social Service Center. The program's offered from September to June to a small group of adults who are often underhoused and underemployed. And the intention of the community circle was so that the guests could get to know each other and hopefully build a community of support for each other. Isn't that great? They answered questions while holding a talking stick, and in the middle of the circle of chairs was a labyrinth. My personal size labyrinth, which I seem to offer at most everything I do. I often bring a labyrinth and use it as a centerpiece. I just think it is an open space, and it allows people to ask questions about what is that pattern on the floor, and I easily talk about labyrinths. Yeah, just yesterday, Christiana, a social service center leader from Chicago Lights asked me to design and lead a labyrinth walk and a meditation for a group that she leads. So I did. The group will learn about labyrinths, walk a labyrinth, draw a labyrinth, design their own labyrinths. And really, at the end of our time together, I will be offering a guided meditation from the Peace Club booklets. And then this group of adults will be given the booklets to keep. The team that designed the booklets, we want them to go out to the world, and we easily gift not-for-profits the booklets and our ideas. At each labyrinth event I lead, I inform the participants about labyrinths and labyrinth-like structures in Chicago that they can walk. There are several downtown, and one labyrinth-like structure right next to the planetarium. In November, I'm leading a labyrinth walk for Chicago Lights at a local church. I have a great leadership team that I'm meeting today. We're going to put our final touches on this walk. And what I like about this walk is people will be bringing items, used clothing, used boots, new clothing, food, canned goods, and they're going to place the items on the outside of the labyrinth. And then when they walk the labyrinth, they're going to be able to read stories of people's lives who have been changed by the act of generosity like they are offering, bringing food, clothing, monetary resources. And then in the center of the labyrinth, I am designing a time where they can be reflective about how their life may be different than these people that are served by Chicago Lights, or how their life is similar. And after they walk out of the labyrinth, we will have more information about Chicago Lights, and also they will be gifted a small token to take with them. Now, see, what I do when I offer something, I don't want to keep reinventing the wheel, Christiana. So this template, this food labyrinth template that I just talked about, is actually going to be used at the Metropolitan Club, the place you mentioned earlier that's honoring, has nominated me as Woman of the Year. They have gifted Chicago Lights a huge room where I'm able to bring my largest labyrinth. And we are going to use the same ideas right there, up there on the 67th floor of Willis Tower in downtown Chicago for members and guests at the Metropolitan Club.
And they will be bringing canned goods and clothing for at-risk people and people in need in the Chicago area.
You're right. And they are taking care of the poster as we speak. And the poster will go on a table. And on that table are going to be canned goods, a used shoe, some clothing. And we are also designing a box where people can put those items inside a box. But the event is November 22nd, and they are invited to come to this free event. And just come to learn more about Chicago Lights, or bring their items at that time and help design the labyrinth with them.
Yeah, I saw the ad, the notice on Chicago Lights homepage about the November Thanksgiving walk. Is that what you're referencing? Not the Metropolitan Club, but the other. Is that about that? This is a Thanksgiving walk, and I mean it's a wonderful idea. And in both instances, it's just such a great way to be inclusive in the Chicago community. Those people who have a great deal tend to get cut off from what's going on in the surrounding communities. And this, you are making it gently, sharing this with, you know, the Metropolitan Club members, and it's a great way, you know, that it is a gentle way, it is a peaceful way to share the different aspects of Chicago. I mean, it's an urban location. There you have all of walks of life there, and all situations, and it's one of the most violent cities in the country, they say, and yet here this is a way that people can make a difference, and I think it must be very gratifying for them.
Yes, and I give you credit for doing your research, I'm glad to hear that it's on Chicago Light's page. I've not noticed that yet. And yes, there is violence here in Chicago. There is violence in many large cities. Chicago isn't number one, although you hear about Chicago quite a bit right now, but actually it's not. It's lower, much lower on the list than many other cities, but it doesn't matter. Once there's violence, there's violence. And let's try to change the actual reaction to something violent that happened to you by being violent to them, by the fact that you could take a breath and stop and pause. And you often learn that through meditation and contemplative practices. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. So I know that you over this past couple of years, you have shared some other wonderful photos of talks, but artistic events that you have helped to produce and create for Labyrinths, using the children, using the youth groups, using kids from Chicago Lights. They have danced on the Labyrinths, and they have. Can you talk a little bit about some of these fun things? That not that meditation isn't fun. You know, it sounds like you have a lot of fun doing what you're doing, but you also get them up and performing.
Well, there is a Chicago Lights Dance Academy, and that is where children from areas that Chicago Lights serves comes into the loop in Chicago, and they learn dance. And they do it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they actually, some of them go off to college because they're passionate about dance. Dance is nothing more than an activity with the body. And so many of their performances for, you know, the teachers and the parents happen on a large labyrinth. And it is a beautiful, beautiful setting, this very large labyrinth made out of granite at Buchanan Chapel at Fourth Presbyterian Church. It's a beautiful setting for dancers. And you can find more information about that on Chicago Light's website. But I will tell you, labyrinths can be incorporated into anything. When I helped lead 60 labyrinth and meditation sessions this summer at the summer camp, we had children walking labyrinths with holding on to ropes if they were the youngest children, to the older children even bouncing basketballs if they want to do that on the labyrinth. And coming together in the middle of the labyrinth and just saying wonderful words while raising their hands like peace and love. There's just so many creative ways that you can use the labyrinth. And not only can you use these beautiful labyrinths that are made out of granite like the one that I mentioned a minute ago, but if you don't have things like that, there are downloadable labyrinths on the Labyrinth Society website, and also you can design labyrinths in sand. I do that with the children. I have plastic containers and sand, and every time I have a group, they get to design their own labyrinths in sand. Why not? Why not be creative? The idea... Really, I think for me, the idea is to get the idea of labyrinths out there in creative ways. And why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I have taken, or labyrinths with buttons and also, yeah, there's so many things that you can use to create a small labyrinth in front of you that will encourage creativity, encourage this idea that it's something that's organic from them, that the design is a very organic expression of, you know, walking, community, meditation, you know, some kind of peaceful walking. It's a very natural expression of that.
Yeah.
So without naming names, so let's talk on a more personal level. Can you share some stories of how this has made a difference with the kids. The kids who come there and they're ADHD, or they've been in scraps before. They have a hard time focusing and paying attention. Or they're sad. They're what you said before. They're stressed by their living conditions, by their poverty, by what they've seen and experienced in their lives. So, can you just not naming names, but share a little bit of the stories that you have experienced of these children and youth and adults?
Oh, I'd love to. I have many stories. Oh, and I never share names, but I love stories because it really helps to connect us with each other. We all have stories, and when we tell stories, we can often see ourselves in that story. So, yes, a couple of stories come to mind to me right now. I remember one evening after offering meditation to a group of students, a young boy told me that he was learning to stop and breathe instead of reacting quickly to violence. I believe that really all forms of meditation, whether you're walking your meditation or sitting, can help us with this. And another story is I was leading a labyrinth event for teens. And two teens were early, and they quickly slipped into the chairs and slouched down. I always like to engage and really get to know these people. It's about building relationships. And I looked at these two boys and I said, "How are you?" And they both said that they need more quiet in their lives and that they were really looking forward to Peace Club that day. So I pulled up a chair, and while looking at them, each one in their beautiful brown eyes, I said, "I'm wondering why you're feeling like you need this today." They wanted me to listen, Christiana, and they trusted me. One young teen said that his uncle had died suddenly last month. The other boy said that his brother had died violently just recently. I said that I was sorry. And with tears in my eyes, I allowed for silence. And then I asked if I could share my story with them. And they shook their heads yes. I said that my son had also died violently and suddenly. And they looked at me and said that they were so sorry. And I told them that someone had helped me after his death. And I found value in their help. So I became certified so I could help others. I told them that they could contact me if they want somebody to listen to them anytime. They enjoyed slowly walking the 26-foot large walking meditation. They also enjoyed the labyrinth workshop, which included designing their own labyrinth that day. They said to me that the time with the labyrinth gave them peace. And they've not felt peaceful lately. They felt angry and agitated, because loved ones were taken from them suddenly. I love how they can share their experiences with me. I have many stories. But their sharing their experiences with me also gave me hope, because I really believe through sharing experiences and relationships, walking labyrinths, meditation, I really believe peace can happen. Just one step or one breath at a time. And I'll just share one other story, Christiana, if you want one other. Do you?
Sure. Okay. Yes, sure.
So while As I mentioned earlier, offering 60 Peace Club meditation and contemplative practice sessions this July. And I really did. It was a busy month.
Wow.
A grandmother of one of the teens that had just been in Peace Club came up to me and thanked me. I had never seen her before. And she said with tears in her eyes, "My grandson has seen a lot of violence recently. He attends your Peace Club. And meditation and labyrinths, walking labyrinths, I never even knew what one was, is helping him to love himself." And she said with tears in her eyes, "Thank you so much." And then she walked on. And what she left for me, Christiana, is a gift. Those words came during the end of July when I was getting a bit tired. And what she gave me was such a gift. And I think things like that happen if we're mindfully aware of what's going on in our lives. And meditation helps me to be mindfully aware. She gave me such a gift. Yes.
So you've been talking about this throughout this episode, this program today. But can you encapsulate, what do you think are the biggest benefits of labyrinth walking for urban at-risk populations? I mean, it sounds to me like you have answered that in some of the stories, but for others who are wanting to do this kind of work in their own cities, are confronted with the same things that Chicago is confronted with every day and want to do something. What do you think they can list as the biggest benefits of labyrinth walking?
Mm-hmm. So I always start out with how things have helped me. So I know that walking a labyrinth helps me slow down and helps me to be more mindful and aware at the moment. And I hear often and almost every day that that is true, whether you're a guest that is served by Chicago Lights or someone who has a house to live in and someone who's employed. And because those who face poverty often experience stress, sitting and walking meditation can help relieve that stress. So I would say that's probably the best benefit, is that it helps relieve some stress.
And wouldn't you say also that the second, probably one of the second high benefit is that, and specifically in many of your programs, there is a community created that didn't exist before, that they never had in their lives, for many of them, and that they have others who walking together. I know from my work in prisons, with prison labyrinths, that the prisoners, the women, said their only people they trusted were the people who they knew walked the labyrinth with them once a month, because they knew that they were all sort of on the same page. And I'm thinking that this is a very potent benefit of these programs in the inner city, that here is a group of people that they can relate to, that they know that they're also learning meditation. They're also learning to stop and breathe. And that probably is hugely impactful.
I think it's important, no matter, just one moment. I need to just take a breath. I think it's important, no matter what you're going through, Christiana, that you have a community. So after I suddenly lost my son, I found a community that could support me. These are individuals that have stress in their life all the time. And anytime we can offer a community where they can come together and talk truthfully and hear their emotions being heard, it's helpful because that helps relieve some of the stress. And to see them do it as a group is amazing. To see a group of teens, summer, on a labyrinth, walking quietly together was totally amazing. And why not? Communities can happen anywhere. Yes.
So talk to us about a little bit. I mean, it couldn't have all been, perfect situations every time that you've created these labyrinth events and things. What were some of the challenges that you faced, either in the creating of these programs, in any kind of resistance to the use of labyrinths, not so much by the administration, obviously, and the staff? You said that they were very supportive, but by the guests, by the families of the guests, by whoever. What were some of the challenges that you faced, if any?
That's such a good question. Truthfully, Christiana, I haven't had any. And we're talking about hundreds of children, teens, and adults. Every once in a while, I hear something from a youth that says something about, oh, labyrinths, aren't they like about voodoo and things like that? And I always start out with questions. What do you know about labyrinths? Have you experienced them before? And then gently, if they're interested, finding out more about it and offering them more information. But honestly, Christiana, I think that's only happened once that I know of, and it was to another team member, not myself, and we chatted about it at a team meeting that we had. And so I have just experienced openness with this community that Chicago Light serves, and leadership and administration.
So what you're saying, that the openness is a direct, probably, it would seem to me, a direct result of this at-risk population needing, willing to try anything to, at this point, to, that is offered them to help them deal with the life situations that they're in, it would seem to me. So they're maybe more receptive, a more receptive population than others.
Now, I don't know. I only know, from my own experiences, and I will tell you that this is a population who has embraced labyrinths and not questioned it openly to me. Maybe it has to do with, Christiana, that when a labyrinth event is offered, it's invitational. It's not anything they have to do. And I don't just offer walking meditation with labyrinths. I also allow them to get their hands dirty and make their own labyrinth. And so I think when you're working with people that serves Chicago Lights, I think just like anybody else in society, they're open to creative ideas. And maybe they've not experienced a labyrinth before, but they're willing to try it. And I love that.
And it would seem that, yeah, that especially for some of these kids, I mean, most of the art programs in the public schools have been shut down. And this is one of the few times they might have to do something like this, to experience drawing and creating. And so you're also providing that outlet for them as well, in a very focused way.
Yes, and Chicago Lights does that so well. You know, I'm talking to you about Peace Club right now. Chicago Lights in their enrichment programs also offers art, computers, many other activity-based things. But I will tell you, you're right. I'm sure many of the arts programs have been taken out of the public school system in many urban communities. And I am, I have such a warm heart today because just last week, a person who is quite connected with a alternative school, it's a residential school and also a day school here in a community in Chicago, an underserved community, and they were asking about Peace Club. They had heard about Peace Club, which includes labyrinths, but it includes mandalas and meditation and many other contemplative practices. They were curious, so they contacted me, and we are in the process of dialoguing about possibly bringing what we offer to Chicago Lights to also a public school, an alternative school. And I offered this to the leadership team as soon as I heard about it. And three of us, there are seven of us on the leadership team, three of us are going to meet with them and talk about possibilities. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, yes. This is something that bringing it into, even if it's an alternative school, even if it's a special, still bringing it into a school atmosphere, and providing this for all ages, all levels of students. Is a really another aspect to this work that you're doing, and I think it's. Do you envision yourself? So let's talk about this. Meanwhile, I'm just going to take one little break. It's now 10:46, and the Q&A chat session is open. So for those of you, it's not that hard to do. You just log in with your Google Plus name or your Facebook name, and then join the and just write something here. I've got you all set up. I'm all ready to go to answer your questions. Love to get some feedback from people. I know this time of the morning, most people are at work, but if you are listening in, please join us. Log on and ask a question. We are waiting here to very very much waiting in anticipation for some outside questions to be asked. But if not, let's talk now. I'm going to go back to, you've sort of segued into this, your involvement. What do you see? What do you hope to see evolving over the next 10 years on your own, in your own level, a personal life and work with labyrinths, and also with labyrinth use in urban environments?
What do I hope to see for the future? Just exactly what happened last week, that alternative school contacting me about possibilities. I really hope in 10 years, Christiana, that we, when we mention the word violence, that we have to look it up in the dictionary. Wouldn't that be great? Because I'm hoping that this becomes something of the past. And I'm just doing only what I feel called to do, and that is offer these practices to others. Because I know it helps me to become more peaceful. And I hear it does them also. But I hope someday we really have to look up that word violence in the dictionary. Because hopefully someday it won't be a common word that we use. That people will have tools that they'll be able to use each and every day, every moment when they're triggered, to stop and take a breath. And take another breath, or maybe take another step on a labyrinth, and another step, and maybe not react to the violence.
As you were talking, Janice, I immediately thought of the gangs, the gang issue in urban environments, and how to reach these youths, male and female, who are at the mercy, not mercy, at the effect of the violence, the energy, the anger around them, such that it makes it almost impossible for them to separate themselves with all this going on, because they're in a group, they're in a gang, and do what you say, you know, stop, take a breath, breathe. Is there any way to reach them, do you think?
Okay, so I'll tell you another story. This happened in the summer. It was one of those mini groups that I was talking about. And it was a group of teens. And it was Peace Club. So they were there to learn contemplative practices. And it was the week that we were talking about Mandela. So every week we talked about mindfulness. We learned a new way to meditate. And then I always added something else. And this week it was a contemplative practice, mandalas. So I had big pieces of paper, construction paper, not your typical 8.5 by 11, but large. And I had drawn a circle on the pieces of paper. The young people, they were all teens. I asked them to choose either white paper or black paper. It was up to them. And there's just a big circle drawn on it. And so they chose the paper. And then I told them a mandala is often representational of our lives. Inside the mandala or outside the mandala, the circle, you can draw whatever you want. However you're feeling at the moment, whatever is going on in your life, or nothing. And so afterwards, after they were quiet and listening to soft music and drawing these mandalas with metallic markers, which are very vivid, I offered them the opportunity that they could title them and they could tell us the story if they wanted to, while using a talking stick. And so as I started the talking stick around the circle of people, young teens, one of them said that he had a title. He put the mandala up so everybody could see it. It was there was obviously a dark side and a light side, and it was very much, the mandala is a circle, a large circle. It was very much the dark side was half and the light side was half of it. And on the dark side, he had drawn the word dad, D-A-D. And then he proceeded to tell us that he was making a decision to stay on the light side or go towards the dark side. And everybody in that room knew what he was talking about. And his best buddy shook his head, yes, I know. I am too. So I'm trained in many different practices. I know not to jump into a comment like that. You let the silence fall, because that's what needs to happen. Everybody needs to be reflective about this. And so after the silence, I said to him, he's a beautiful young, I don't know, 13-year-old maybe, 14 maybe. And I said, may I speak into that? And he looked at me and said, yes. I said, thank you for sharing. I said to him, I hope someday to see you going to school, happy in life, and employed in a field you want. That's my biggest wish for you. And he smiled. And so what I did, Christiana, after that session is I asked for time with the leaders at Chicago Lights. These are things that are important that everybody knows, so that we can embrace these young people with love and help steer them in the right direction. And they embraced him with love and helped steer him in the right direction. And they also gave him a leadership role in the last experience that they had, where they perform in front of their parents and an audience of probably more than 200 people. And I was there, and I was able to see him in this leadership role. And he was up there smiling and engaged. Christiana, through activities like that and truth from these young people, and they do love coming to Peace Club. It's one of the places where they can talk about their life and be loved endlessly. This gives me hope. And I hope someday that I walk inside a business here in Chicago and I see him as a leader. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, wonderful story, Janice. What really impressed me with what you just said was that in that moment, you had a choice between dwelling on the darkness and how bad it was and don't go there. And that will just lead you to, you know, whatever. And you chose to see what was possible for him. Mm-hmm. That he probably could not see and wasn't able to see. And you created that picture for him. And then the rest of your team and the rest of the structure there. And it was just a positive building. It was never dwelling on that darkness that exists. Mm-hmm. It is there. It exists. They're very much aware of that. I was obvious in that mandala. But you kept going with the positive and providing positive situations for him, based on the fact that he was there to begin with. And that's a wonderful learning lesson, teaching lesson, I think, for any of us who are providing Labyrinth events and activities and working with young people and youth and at-risk populations. So thank you so much for sharing that specific example. That was very valuable to me.
Thank you for asking. But I reflect back light on that teen. If he didn't talk about this, Christiana, there would be no chance of us steering him in the right direction and listening further to see what this is about. He opened up the door, and I give him all the credit. He could have closed that door and not let me in there, but he didn't.
Well, I think they're all very, very blessed to have you with your mindfulness and your awareness to say exactly the right thing and give that space, that silence, so that there was an opening there and for him to respond from his comfort zone, what was comfortable for him. So there's a reason why you've been nominated as Woman of the Year, and that was a pretty good example of that to me. Mm-hmm. So it's been wonderful having you on this show, Janice. We are now out of time. I'm sorry that no one stepped in to chat, but hopefully this is a very new program, and so hopefully as it takes off, we'll have more people contacting us and coming on board and live chatting with us. But thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure sharing this hour with you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you, Christiana.
Yeah, and many continued blessings on your path.
Thank you, dear.
Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Labyrinth Society's Many Paths, Many Visions, broadcast by Spreaker with your host, Christiana Brinton. Be sure to check the Labyrinth Society website, our Facebook page, Global Group, YouTube site, and Google+ for a list of upcoming dates and guests. For more information, please go to www.labyrinthsociety.org. Ciao, namaste, and may you find what you need on your path through life.